Father, we are grateful for the time that we can come and to participate in the giving of your offering. Father, we thank you for blessing us and blessing us beyond bounds, and that as we give our tithe back to you, Father, it's only a small portion of the ways that you have blessed us. Father, help us to further your kingdom by us giving generously and giving fruitfully, Father. We pray that you would also just be with us today as we continue to minister and to reach out to the community. And we thank you for the evidence that we see in baptism of the one who has come to give her life to Jesus Christ and now is making that public statement of faith. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This morning to have a baptism. We had another one scheduled, and the parent was called out at the last minute this morning to take care of work, so they're going to have to reschedule. But we're delighted today to have Rhianne Landers come, follow the Lord in baptism, have a lot of family here. Would y'all stand and let our folks recognize you and see you? This is Don Amy Sheep's daughter-in-law, and so... For us to understand about baptism, one of the ordinances of the church, baptism doesn't say it has no salvation merit. But what baptism is a public profession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and saying that I have trusted Christ as my Savior and I'm going to follow him and want you to know that I'm one of his children and one of his followers. And so, Rhianne, today, do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
All right. Upon your public profession of faith in Jesus Christ, in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, bearing the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, to walk in newness of life. Amen. We've had a couple of mission teams out doing, sharing the gospel and doing some work, and we're going to begin with a report from Brother Brack, and you have a slideshow up here first, all right? So just watch the screens, all right?
Anytime a heart turns from darkness to light, anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight, anytime somebody lives to serve and not be served, I know, I know, I know, I know. Choices made to stand upon the word. I know, I know. Searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Anyway.
So we were in Kansas City for the week. One of the things, as you look at the pictures, you know, it kind of makes me think, you see a lot of our group. There were a couple of areas that we were working in that we were not allowed to take photos because of the children that we were working with. And you even saw there was the one that had the face with the heart painted over it. But there was a lot of work that we had done that week in a lot of different areas. There was, we partnered with, there was a church from Minnesota, and I had to say that with the accent, Minnesota. It's a church from Minnesota. There was a church from Illinois and one from Oklahoma City. And we partnered together the week. We broke up into groups and went to several different sites. Most of the groups were able to do multiple different things. We had one group that the entire week they stayed with adults with special needs. And you saw several pictures on that, especially in the beginning, where they would, you know, just work with them through the week and just love on them. And they were so appreciated of the stuff. And then some of the other things we did, you saw them, they were working on a garden. And that garden was at a children's home where the children's home had lost funding. And so for the last, I think it's a couple of years, they have not been able to have their garden. And so we were able to come in, tear out all the weeds, get all the stuff out of there, and then begin to plant things, watermelon and some things for the children's home. And doing that, you saw some pictures of these things that looked kind of weird, where they were making, they were, it was mats for homeless people is what those were. The crazy thing about it is the mats were made out of Walmart bags or those plastic bags that you get from the grocery store that annoy you to death because you get a jillion of them and don't know what to do with them. That's what they use to build those mats. And so once it was built, they were pretty comfortable. And they had designed them to where they roll up and they can carry them with them and things like that. And so it's kind of an interesting use of things there. There was a reading program that a lot of groups did during the day. We would go into some of the schools for their summer schools, and a lot of the people there were telling us that Kansas City has one of the worst educational systems in the country. And they just, kids getting into 6th, 7th, 8th grade still don't know how to read. And so the mayor now is pushing an initiative to read to children and to have them read. And so we would go in with kindergartners and first grade and a little bit older and just sit and read with them. And so it was pretty crazy. There was another thing, a Shepherd's House, which was helping older adults that are becoming senior adults to learn what it means to, you know, work with Medicare and live on their own, you know, if they've had a spouse that's passed away and some things like that. And we helped with that house. We helped with the Ronald McDonald House that's there, just helping them getting things ready for new families that are coming in. And if you're not familiar with the Ronald McDonald House, it's an incredible ministry to people whose children have cancer and gives them a place to stay. And another place that we worked was called Della Lamb. And it did lots of stuff. It had a food pantry. It had a clothing pantry. They do education with people, helping them, you know, understand just what it means to live. I mean, you know, budgeting and some basic stuff. One of their big ministries, though, is refugees. And they will get a refugee family about every week. And they have some pretty strict guidelines as to helping them get settled there in Kansas City. And so it was pretty interesting to see just some of the work that they do and so forth. And so it was quite a tiring week. We worked a lot, but it was a good week because we were able to love on some people, to minister to people that would not have gotten it otherwise. And so we really enjoyed it. And I just thank you, church family. You know, you helped make the trip possible. You didn't go, but you helped make it possible. Some of you gave, many of you prayed, and that's what really got us through the week. If it had not been for your prayers, we would probably have crash like Wednesday. but we could feel your prayers, and we really appreciate your support. And so, Kansas City, pray for Kansas City. They definitely could need that. All right? Thank you.
Anytime we can disciple our students to share Christ's love in a practical way. We live in a society that's very individualistic. It's all about self. It's about what I need, what I want. And to stop and take time to show Christ's love in a practical way, to teach them how to serve others, I think it's a very important thing, especially in light of what we're teaching throughout the month of June, and that's serving. Serving Christ and serving the Master, serving in ministry. And so we thank the Lord for Brack and Kathleen and their leadership and taking that group. Anytime you take teenagers anywhere, whether they're your own or somebody else's, it's always a challenge. And but we thank God for them and what the Lord will continue to do in Kansas City as a result of their being there and ministering to those folks. 2 weeks ago, our group went to Miami, and then they stopped off in Brazil and came back. And I'm sure someone in the group will share a little bit about their wonderful opportunity to share Christ's love in a practical way in Miami, Florida. I'm going to ask Brother Kobe to come, and he will come introduce the teams that are here. Continue to pray for Brother Fulton. Brother Fulton is there. Text him yesterday. Actually, text him on Friday. Got a response yesterday, and he said the physical body's doing really well. He said the spiritual body seems to be being stretched really thin. And so pray for Brother Fulton as he continues to be there. I believe he's returning with Aaron's group. Isn't that right? We don't know. So, nonetheless, he's there, and continue to pray for him. And so, Brother Kobe, you come.
I was going to ask Tanya and Matt to come up. Yeah. We had a great trip, and this was Matt's first time. I think Tanya, what, your third time? I think. Yeah. So. I figured you'd rather listen to them than see a video, but that was, I love the video. But Tanya, you want to go first, or Matt, you want to go first?
Well, this is my third time, and I'm hooked. I love it. As I said, this is my third time traveling with Kobe and traveling with our team, but there's things that I saw that I've never saw before. We were under trial, losing luggage, flights being canceled, waking up the next morning and finding a cat under your bed. I mean, it was crazy, absolutely crazy. But then again, you know, I try so hard to witness to my friends, my family members, to my coworkers. And to get no response, I can't save them. I know that. And I pray daily, God, please just help me to be an empty vessel. Just help them to see your face, not my face, please. And sometimes I wonder, God, where are you? Because nothing. It's like there's no response at all. But I go to Brazil. And they are so hungry. They're so desperate. And I talk to my friends that are Christians about going to Brazil, and they're like, I can't do that. I can't talk to people. I don't know what to say. I don't have education, please. I do not have a college education. These people, 90% of them, I don't know how many, don't read. They can't read. And you'll give them a track or something, and they'll tell you right away, I can't read, but can your granddaughter, can your grandson? Oh, yes, they can read. Have them read to you. It's just amazing. The first town we went to, there wasn't one home I was able to go into that they didn't accept Christ. Whether they truly did or not, that's not my business. That's between them and God. but it's just amazing. God, you are real. You are still working. I just pray for our country. I wish it was ours. It would be amazing to see Brazil be the next Christian nation, you know? But thank you for praying for us. I could tell because there were so many times I wondered if we were going to come out friends after all this. I mean, we stank pretty bad. I mean, I'm telling you, no luggage, no, and we did get it. It was soaked. So God was in it. It was great. Thanks.
Hi, guys. So basically for me, this was actually my first time going to Brazil. And I tell you, I really did have a blast. I had one of the best times there than, man, it was just lovely. When I went there, I had a lot of stuff going on. I was in charge of VBS. I was helping out. They had me play some guitar for the kids. We went to many schools, and we just witness to the kids and tell them all about Jesus, tell them all about what he has done for us, and how all we have to do is just ask him into our hearts and have a relationship with him, and we could go into heaven and be with the Lord. And I just had a big smile looking at those kids, looking how they would just react when the first time they'd ever see a American ever come to that kind of area, to ever come to Brazil. And these people, I have never seen it as often here, but these kids really wanted a savior. They wanted Jesus. And you could tell just by their reactions that they are desperate for a savior. And the churches we went to, they were abandoned. And the moment we go over there, in 1 week, there is already a crowd, and that church is rebuilt. And all we had to do was just go over there and knock on a few doors and tell kids. And the next night, you see a full-on church, larger than this group here. And they are just worshiping, and they are just smiling, and they are just singing their hearts out. And I hardly see that. So I know Christ had a great miracle coming. So thank you all who actually go over there and act like warriors of Christ. Thank you very much.
Matt didn't even want to come back. He tried to talk me into leaving him there with Fulton, but I thought he would wear Fulton out. I guess I would not make a very good Marine, because I think simplify means you don't leave nobody behind, but I left one behind, and that was Fulton. I don't think you could have drug him out of Brazil. Fulton was, and I talked to him, I guess it was Friday, and he was still just pumped up and going strong, and continue to pray for him. I remember when Jairo told him, he says, "Now, when Kobe leaves, you've got to preach." And Fulton said, "Well, we'll see about that." Well, I think he's seeing about that all right. And God is really using Fulton. And every other day, I get to talk with him on the phone. And boy, he's ecstatic what God is doing through him. And if God can use Fulton and use people like me, definitely he can use you. In this morning's lesson with the Apostle Paul, him being the chief of sinners and a persecutor and an insolent man, and how God changed him from a murderer to a preacher, and from a bully to a missionary. And if God can do it with Paul, he can do it with us. And never doubt what God can do through you. It's a humbling experience, for sure. When Pastor Don asked me this when I got back, Miami, I know you guys got to hear about Miami. And I don't know. I told Vivian, I think I'm going to go to the shooting range, and I may just write Miami on the target and just wipe it out. We're supposed to be there 3 hours. We're there for 36 hours. And all the time, we're wondering, what the world is going on here, Lord? Why are we here? And then, you know, American Airlines holds our luggage, so we have no bags. You know, I will say that God is alive and working in a sleep-in hotel. I went to the desk the next morning. I said, I have nothing. What you see is what I've got. And they gave me shaving cream and a razor and some deodorant, which the whole team was glad of that. And they gave me a toothpaste and toothbrush. And so I thought, well, I'm fixed. I can make it to 11 o'clock tonight when we fly out. And needless to say, that flight was delayed by 12 hours. We were almost at the point the next day that we said, you know, if it doesn't happen today, we don't make it to Brazil, maybe we just go back home. Maybe it's part of God's plan, you know. We're all praying for an audible voice from God to tell us, you know, what's going on. And to make things even worse, to be trapped in a hotel room and look out the hotel window and see a golf course, and I'm thinking, I didn't even bring golf clubs, you know. All I have is my Bible. And so the Bible is what I use to bring comfort and hope and patience and peace. Finally, we did get to Brazil. Needless to say, we were on the tarmac for an hour and a half before we left Miami. We only had like a two-hour time period by the time we reached Brazil to catch another flight to Montes Claros. So I knew the timetable was tough. And if we were going to make that second flight, everything had to go precisely on time. And an hour and a half on the tarmac in Miami, you know, it wasn't part of my plan or my agenda. But we have to remember, God is in control. And thank goodness I had a great team that kept reminding me of that, you know, that God is in control. I'm not a Mary. I'm a Martha, you know. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, why do you worry about so many things? I live in a Martha world. If I don't have something to worry about, then I feel like part of my world's missing something, you know. But God is long-suffering, just as the lesson said this morning, and he's patient, and he's full of mercy and grace, and he definitely gives me mercy and grace. So we finally get to Belo Horizonte. You know, I've got like a 30-minute window here, and so Tanya goes through, and some people got their bags. Some people didn't get their bags. I didn't get a bag. Tanya didn't get one bag. Fulton didn't get a bag. My bag had everything in it. It was just kind of a small suitcase, but I had packed everything in there. And so without delay, I said, man, I got to go. Just get my bag to me as quick as you can. And we left, and we've got to go out of the airport, come back in through security. And I'm thinking, I really don't have time to go back through this TSA thing. I need to be moving. I didn't be moving. And, you know, you got to hit a button there. You hit a button on the wall. And if the button's green, you get to pass on through, you know. Now, that could preach right there. Someday, hey, the button's already been pushed. It's already green, and we are just passing through because we are children of God. Hey, hallelujah. Glory to Deus. Glory to Deus. I have a Brazilian friend back here today, so every once in a while I may have to throw a little Portuguese in there, you know. Jesus Giama, glory to Deus. Jesus loves you, and glory to God. So Tanya hits it, and it turns red. And I went, well, bless her heart. She's going to get stopped. This is not going to happen twice in a row. I know it never does happen twice in a row. I hit the button, and what do you think? It turns red. I went, I do not have time for this. I do not. Hey, I got to go. And so, thank goodness, you know, I didn't have a suitcase. All I had was a backpack. Poor Tanya did have one suitcase, so they go through everything in the suitcase. Finally, they get me through, and I'm running down the corridor to catch the plane, and I look back, and I had to have them hold the door for Tanya, but Tanya finally made it. Everything, it seems like, was just, you know, nothing was going right. And I even told the team, you know what? I'm at this point now. If I had a pet duck, it'd drown. You know, I says, I don't know what to do. I says, totally, God is really teaching me something on this trip that he's never taught me the other 9 trips I made here, which was my 10th trip. But we did get to our destination, Carvalho, Padre Carvalho, a small town. I wasn't a place there to even buy clothes. So I'm still wearing, now this is like on a Thursday or Friday, and I'm still wearing the same thing that I left DFW airport in. There's no department store there. There's no Walmart. There's no drugstore. There's no nothing. I mean, this village is completely just people that they need Jesus. And I,
So I spent 3 days there. You know, American Airlines kept saying, your luggage is on the way, your luggage is on the way. Well, it never showed up. And so now I'm on the sixth day. We're in a new town. And guess what? There's department stores. Hey, so I go and I buy a pair of pants, 2 shirts, and I'm not going to tell you what else I bought. But, you know, so now everybody's saying, boy, Kobe, you really look good. But for some reason, you know, I felt like those children in the wilderness where it says that, hey, they wore the same clothes. You know, God furnished them everything. My clothes stay clean. Everybody says, I can't believe you're staying so clean. I'm being very, very careful. I'm eating with a napkin under my chin and everything. But it was amazing, you know. And after a little while, when you became to see people accept Jesus Christ, that kind of went, the clothes was no big deal. In the first town, I think we had 235 salvations, which praise God for those. In Janauba, which was a bigger town, a little harder town to work, but we had 285 salvations there. I think totally we had 520 salvations, not counting what those in the school that raised their hand to accept Christ, and for those that weren't documented. All of those were documented. We had names and addresses to contact those people. So we left the pastors with a big job to do there. If you would, though, please stand, and I'll give you part of my Brazilian message. And it's in Mark chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5 and 11 through 12. And it says, again, he, being Jesus, entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And they came to him, to Jesus, bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. In verse 11, Jesus says, I say to you, arise, take your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose, he took up the bed, and he went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Father, how we do, thank you so much for the reading of your word, and we pray now that you open ears and hearts and minds, and may you speak to us today, and give us a message, Father, that we may apply it to our lives in a way that bring you honor and glory. And it's in that precious name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. The first thing we see here, we really see 3 different groups of people. First, we see a large crowd. And this large crowd was gathered where? In a house. Why did they come to this house? It was because Jesus was in the house. Today, if you're here, and this is what I told the Brazilians, if you're here because you have an American that's bringing the word, or you have an extraordinary great band that's playing some real great music, if you came here for the music, or if you came here because American is speaking, you are here for the wrong reason. You should be here because who? Because Jesus Christ is in the house. And so this is the first thing we've seen. And everywhere that Jesus went, there was always a crowd gathered around him. And so this great crowd had come to this house to hear Jesus. Now, why had they come to hear Jesus? And part of somebody today may be part of that crowd, because we're either in the crowd, you know, or we're either one of the 4 men who carried this man with this crippling disease, or we are that man with that crippling disease. This large crowd had came there because why? Because Jesus had been performing miracles. He had been healing people. He'd been giving sight to the blind. He'd been given hearing to the deaf and even casting out demons. You see, I believe the reason why they were there is to see what they could get or what they could receive. Or maybe it was just out of curiosity that they were there. But we do not believe that they were totally there for worshiping Jesus Christ. They just wanted to hear more of him. And of course, the Bible teaches us that Jesus spoke like none other, that he was the greatest teacher, and that his speech and his preaching was none like any other. So people were drawn to Jesus Christ, not because of who he was, but it was because of these events that was taking place in around about Jesus. And then all of a sudden, hearing this story, you see these 4 men These four men are not identified, but we know that these four men must have had some grace, mercy, and compassion, whether this was for a friend or for a brother or maybe for a relative. But what did they do? When they saw that Jesus was in the house and they'd heard about what Jesus was doing, you know, they decided to do what? They decided to put Jesus on this mat, put this crippled man on this mat and carry him to Jesus. Today, we can be one of those four. It's like I told the Brazilians, I said, I came here 7,000 miles, you know, for nothing else but to bring you to Jesus. I can't save you. I cannot forgive you. All I can do is allow God to use me to bring you to him. And this is our object. This is our task. This is our commission by the Bible. See, we as Christians, we have many tasks, but we only have one mission, and that's to tell people about Jesus Christ. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, David Worley gave me a book. And the book is about sharing the gospel, and I think he gave it to all of his Sunday school class. And I noticed I read in this book that 95% of the people who profess Jesus Christ as a personal Savior never witnessed to one person. And I thought how sad that is. You know, many of them are what? Just in the crowd. They just come to church every Sunday or, you know, just to get what they can receive, what they want or what they desire, when that's totally the wrong reason why we're here. We're here because Jesus was in the house. We come here to honor him and glorify him for what he's done for us, something that we couldn't do ourselves, only something that he could do. And so here we see these four men, and they carry it, and then here's the deal. And I guess this story kind of went along with Miami. When they reached the house, what did they have? They had a circumstance that was beyond their control. It was so crowded. Can you imagine that people were even hanging in the windows and hanging out of the windows? The door was so packed, they couldn't even get near the door. You know, they had a circumstance that was out of their control. But it's an amazing thing. And this is, you know, each one of these lessons and each one of these stories in God's Bible, it has a spiritual lesson behind it. And the spiritual lesson here is when they reached that point to where they faced this thing where they could have easily said, you know what, you know, let's turn around and go back home. Maybe we come back tomorrow. You know, maybe we just give up. You know, we can't even get near Jesus. You know, the house is full. What are we going to do? And maybe the man lay on the mat says, you know what, I'm tired of laying on the mat. I'm tired of y'all carrying me, and I'm getting heavy for you. Just carry me back. But now these men, they were endeavored to persevere. Hey, they had brought this man to Jesus, and they was determined to do it. But it says, what did they do? It says they looked up. Man, that's an awesome statement just right there alone. When we reach circumstances that's beyond our control, luggage loss, flights delayed, and you're wondering what in the world's going on, where do we look? We look up. It's in those times that, hey, we get comfort, we get hope. Not by looking down or looking around, but looking up to that one who has control over all things. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to the Lord. Sometimes we don't understand why things happen the way they do, why flights get delayed, you know, why flights get canceled when all we want to be is on the mission field being used by Jesus Christ just to spread the gospel. But what do? We look up. So when you go through a time of tribulation or a trial, that, or a bit time of testing in your life, always look up to him. And so they look up. The stairs go up the side of this house. You know, and upon this house, they start removing the tiles. The scripture says, as they uncovered the roof where he was, so when they had broken through, they looked down the bed on which the paralytic was laying. And what did Jesus see? In verse 5, it says, and Jesus saw their faith. And he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. You notice he didn't say you're healed of this disease. You're not healed of this crippling disease. You're not healed from your paralyzed, but you're healed from what? You're healed from your sins. This kind of tells us in the scriptures that this man was in this condition because of what? Because of sin. Jesus was willing to forgive him of his sin. I have some words, and if you have your Bibles, you can, I don't know if you write in your Bibles. My poor Bible is so written up that, you know, I really don't have anywhere else to write. And my whole family, they're fighting over, when I am called home, is who's going to get this Bible. And it's put together with post office tape to keep it together. But I've got some things circled in here, and it says, for one thing, that he, being Jesus, what did he preach? He preached the word. If you preach God's word, you can't go wrong. Because it's not what I say, but it's what the Bible says. You know, The other thing too here, you wonder about this man who owned this house. Man, how he must have felt with Jesus being in his house. I was in Janauba, and we were walking down the street, and there was two ladies that were sitting there visiting with each other, and I walked over to them, and I introduced myself. You know, my name's Kobe, Status U Needles, G, Texas, and I'm here to tell people about Jesus Christ. And one lady says, I've got to go shopping. I don't have time, and she left. The other lady invited us into her house. And when we got into her house and began to talk with her and showed her God's word and the scriptures that God had inspired men to write, she came to that point in her life where she wanted to accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and personal Savior. And then she began to weep. And I wondered, why was she weeping? She should be, hopefully these are tears of joy. So I asked the interpreter, I said, ask her why she's weeping. And she says, I cannot believe that an American is in my house. And I thought to myself, I can't believe that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth to suffer, bleed, and die for a sinner such as me. That now Jesus dwells in my house, in my tent, in my tabernacle, which is within me. And so we departed from there, just leaving the word. Now the paralytic, I have that circled in my Bible, and I have the word written out, sin. It was sin that got this man in this condition, and there was no one that could heal him. There was no one to remove this sin from him. He needed one special person, and these four men were the men that God chose to bring that man to him. And they carried him, which I have that circled in my Bible, and I have it written out, that Christ carried our sins. You see, Christ carried our sins to the cross. Just as these men carried this man with this sin, with this disease, they carried him to Jesus. What did Jesus do for us? He carried our sins to the cross. Another word that I have circled is they uncovered the roof. Uncovered. And this is what Jesus did. That night in Nerriman, Texas in 1971, he uncovered my heart. And by me uncovering my heart, it allowed Jesus to come in and save me and be my Lord and Savior. Another two words that I have circled is let down. We have to let down our pride. We have to let down our self-righteousness. We have to humble ourselves. We have to admit that we're a sinner. Martin Luther once said that he came to that knowledge that he was a great sinner and he needed a great Savior. And he found that in Jesus Christ. And Martin Luther says, if anyone knocks on the door of my heart, may I say, not Martin Luther lives here, but the Lord Jesus Christ lives here. And hopefully we can all say that here today. Another one that I have circled, and I have it circled very boldly, is when Jesus saw their faith. You see, it's by faith that we come to Jesus Christ. That same faith that brought you here today and the same faith that you're going to have when you leave here today, not knowing whether you're going to make it home. You didn't know this morning whether he's going to make it here. But it's by that faith that we are saved. And your sins are forgiven you when you step out in that faith. In Brazil, usually at this point, I says, you know, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, if you don't have a relationship with him, let me tell you why it's so important. The first thing we read in Romans 3:23 is that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of that sin is death. Like Tanya was saying a while ago, most of these people can't read. They've never heard the gospel message. So many of them don't know what sin is. You would be surprised how many times I ask someone, do you have sin in your life? And they says, no, I don't have sin. And I follow up and ask them the question, well, have you ever disobeyed your parents or have you ever told a lie? And usually they smile and say yes. I says, that's sin. And sin separates you from God. For so you see, God is righteous and holy. And he's without sin. And here we are with sin. So we can't come to God because sin separates us from God. So how do we come to God if we have this sin in our life? You know? And they begin to kind of see a puzzled look on their face. But then you have the blessed words of Romans 5:8 where it says, but yet while I was a sinner, God demonstrated his love for me, that in this way that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. First John 5 says, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. You see, many people think that you can get to heaven, and how many times have I asked people, in your opinion, how do you think you get to heaven? And they say, by being good, by going to church, by doing good deeds. That's not what it says in John 14:6. John 14:6, Jesus says, Jesus des io camillo e verdade a vida. So means Jesus Christo for salvation. Amen? Amen. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I wasn't speaking in tongues there. I was a little bit of Portuguese. So don't start. Hey, you know, Jesus is my interpreter. You know, you see, it says nothing about baptism. It says nothing about religion. It doesn't say anything about good works. It doesn't say anything about going to church. If there was any other way for us to merit our salvation, why would God send his only begotten Son to sacrifice himself, to bleed, suffer, and die for us? There was no other way. For you see, without the blood, there's no remission of sin. And we sing a song here, and I wrote down the words before I left for Brazil, and I thought, these are good words, and I can use these words in Brazil. It says, what a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. The Lamb was sacrificed. Now I no longer fear the grave by the blood, but for the blood. The blood is my victory. You see, someday we're going to stand before a righteous God. And Jesus is going to be there but at his right hand. And when we're standing there, he may even ask us the question, why shall I let you enter into my kingdom? Why should I allow you into heaven? He's going to see the blood of Jesus Christ on our heart for those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And for that reward, the Bible says, come on in, my good and faithful servant, and you'll find some rest. But the Bible also says, for those that do not have this blood, who has not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and personal Savior, the Bible specifically states, depart from me, for I never knew you. And that's got to be the saddest verse in the Bible. And I hope there's no one here today that leaves here without knowing Jesus Christ, because we never know when we'll take our next breath or when this next opportunity will come. You see, these gentlemen, when they met this obstacle of all these people, this crowd, where they couldn't get in the house, they still held on to the opportunity that they had. I once heard it said, what a wonderful thing is this opportunity to trust Jesus Christ and be saved. But what a terrible thing is wasting that opportunity and perhaps never having it again. You see, there's some who's wasted that opportunity, and there's some who never got that opportunity again. Today may be your only opportunity, for we not know when Jesus Christ is coming back again. But we know he came the first time as a suffering servant, but we know next time he's coming as a great victory. And that he's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's coming to gather us and take us home, and we don't know when that time is. The Bible says that two people may be sleeping in bed and the other look around and one be gone. The Bible also says that two may be working in a field and one will look up and the other will be gone. We don't know when he's going to return. So this is something that we don't need to delay. We need today to accept Jesus Christ, place our faith and trust in him, for he is truly the only way. In Romans 10:13, it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So it's only by Jesus Christ we are saved. In my hand with the Brazilian rubber band is my passport. I have to keep this passport with me all the time I'm in Brazil. I never know when I'm going to be asked for my passport or to show them the paper that allows me to be in Brazil. And it's the same thing with us. Our passport to heaven is Jesus Christ. Another sweet thing that I always enjoy hearing them say is when, even in Miami they said it, and is when I returned and I went through customs, you know, the first thing they want to see is your passport. You know, they tell you to remove your hat because they can't tell this is me on my passport, my hat on, which I don't understand that. But you remove your hat and they look at it and he runs it through a thing and he always says these words, welcome home, Mr. Sutherland. There's going to come a day when we're going to stand before a righteous God. And will he be willing to say, welcome home, Kobe Sutherland, for you were faithful. You placed your faith and trust in my only begotten Son. And for that reason, your eternal reward is here in heaven, where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more cancer. You know, And you can sit there and finally know that, hey, you're in the presence of the God who loved you, who gave you the best I had. All these other things don't matter. Wearing clothes for 6 days. That was beside the point. Watching 235 people come forward, or 285 people come forward and accept Jesus Christ. Man, I didn't even think about the clothes. Man, and I'm sitting here thinking, man, Jesus, you used an old broken down General Motors worker, just as you use simple fishermen. And if he used me, he can use you. The scripture says today, would you call upon the name of the Lord? Some people say that's easy. Just call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Is it that easy? Well, there's nothing easy about it at all. The cross was heavy, the blood was real, and the price was extravagant. It would have bankrupted you and me, and this is why Jesus paid it for us. You see, we have a debt we couldn't pay, and Jesus paid a debt that he didn't owe. Call it simple. You can call it a gift, but don't call it easy. Call it what it is. Call it grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Dear Heavenly Father, how we do thank you for the message that you have spoken here today. And Father, just speaking as a humble servant, these tears are not tears of fear, but they're tears of hope and comfort and peace that I have in Jesus Christ, and tears of joy. And I thank you for the work that you did just through 6 people. But at the same time, too, I think about the work you could have done through 12 or 18 or 24 people. But I thank you for using us just to preach your word. That word that is truth and that is solid doctrine, that Jesus Christ, that he did come from heaven to earth as God's son, that he did suffer and he did bleed and he did die for us, for sinners such as I. And we can stand here today and say, amazing grace, how can it be that thee, my King, would die for me? And it is amazing. But we thank you for your love, your patience, your kindness. But most of all, we thank you for your grace, for it's by grace through faith that we are saved and nothing of ourselves. And we give you full honor and glory. And thank you so much for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Heads bowed and eyes closed. You've heard the gospel this morning. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's nothing that could be added to what was shared. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to God's word, was shared with you today. And it's no accident that you're here. It's no accident that Brother Kobe shared what he shared. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, in just a moment we're going to stand to our feet. Ricky's going to lead us in a song, and there'll be ministers here at the front and people to pray with you and show you from God's word how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul, when he shared his faith with King Agrippa, probably the saddest words you'll ever read in the New Testament by one individual is what King Agrippa told Paul when he said, almost, almost, you persuade me to be a Christian. Jesus loves you. Jesus died. Come this morning. Place your faith and trust in him. As we quietly stand to our feet, Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for your love, for your grace. We thank you for allowing our church family to go and be part of this P70 project. And Father, how you've used them each and every day. Lord, even today, as Brother Kobe has shared your love, your grace, and the salvation you offer, we ask the Holy Spirit to draw men, women, into a relationship with you today.
and we'll give you the praise and you the honor and glory for all that you do. As we begin to sing, "You Come," right now, so Lord, lead you. Don't hesitate. You come.
Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Oh, precious is the foe. That saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory.
This morning, so oftentimes we hear people talk about, "Well, I can't go to Brazil. I can't go on a mission trip with the students. I can't do this. I can't do that." It's time for us to quit talking about what we can't do. And we need to be talking about what we can do, what we will do, what we're going to do. And that is, each and every day of our lives, God brings people across our path. And I would, as Tanya shared, we live in a different culture these days than what it was 30 years ago when I started here at the church, 35 years ago. 40 years ago when I came to faith in Christ. This is a different day in America. People are a little more cold. People are a little more resistant. People are a lot more resistant. But we still serve the same God. And where Jesus, where the scriptures say, "Don't be weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not." We're admonished. We're commanded to remain faithful. To share the word. Share His love, share His grace. And if you say, "Well, I don't like traveling international and I can't go to Brazil," I'll tell you what you do. You take a week of vacation, and we'll coordinate it with the staff, and we'll go visiting with you and witnessing with you. Okay? You know, we have an opportunity right here. The problem is, we've allowed our culture to silence us. We've allowed our culture to put us in a closet, so to speak. We need to be vocal about our faith. I can't remember Penn and Teller, the magicians. And I think it was Penn, the tall guy, the tall one of the two, the one that talks. Atheist. Don't believe in God. But there was a young Christian who, time and time again, kept coming and gave him a new testament. And here's what he said: "If what Christians really believe is true, that there really is a hell, and there is, and there really is a heaven, and there is," he said, "they ought to be knocking the doors down. They ought to be telling everybody." And we should. So First Baptist, what are we going to do about it? If you think the staff can do it all, you're wrong. We're not hired guns. We're brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ with you. We're all one body. We're many members. Talked to the staff this past week. We may just do Mission Fort Worth next year. We go everywhere else, and we put a specific time of focus, and yet we won't walk across the street to tell somebody about Jesus. Shame on us. Shame on me. We need to tell people about Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate Brother Kobe. I appreciate our team and their faithfulness and perseverance through this trip. And I encourage you to go on a mission trip. If you never have, you ought to go. You never shared Jesus? You ought to. Let me just say, at the very least, invite people to come to church. Man, if you had invited your lost friends, you could have gotten them just to come to church and heard what Brother Kobe had to share today. Wow. Amen, preacher. Be seated for just a moment. We're going to let you go pretty quick, but we have a special, special thing. This morning, and Chris and Jessica Shivera, and a precious little boy that God has placed into their home, and they come today to dedicate Blake. And I'm going to ask Brother Dave Rutherford to come, our children's pastor. He has a presentation to make this morning.
Pastor, church family,
we've got a brand new family, and with the Shaviras coming this morning. And this little one, that's not so little anymore, he's not that old, but he is growing up fast. His name is Christopher Blake Shavira, and they actually go by and call him Blake, all right? But Blake means to make white and pure. Psalms 51:7 tells us, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." And that's the verse that goes along with Blake's name. And Mom and Dad, we just have a couple things we want to pass along to you. But let me remind you that James 1:17 tells us every perfect gift comes from the Lord. This is a perfect gift, all right? Now, when I mean perfect, God made them perfect. We're born into sin, though, so keep that in mind. That's where our job comes into play. So Deuteronomy 6:4-9 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your child. And you shall talk about them whenever you sit at home, whenever you go for a walk, whenever you lie down, and whenever you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon thy hand and as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them on the post of your house and on thy gates." God is expressing that it's so important to teach him who God is and his love for him. And Dad, we have this little New Testament to help serve as a reminder for you. Because Ephesians, God explains how we as dads are supposed to teach and train our children and how to be the head of the household. And then, Mom, we've got a beautiful bouquet of flowers here for you as a representation of what you're holding right now, this wonderful, beautiful gift. So, congratulations, you guys. We love y'all, and we are here as a church to stand with you.
Amen. Baby dedication, as our church family understands, and yes, we want you to know that this is not part of salvation. What this is a commitment on the part of Mom and Dad to say we're going to raise Christopher Blake Shavira in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. and we're going to live it, we're going to teach it, and we're going to just truly model it before our child. And so, Chris, Jessica, God has entrusted you with a beautiful baby boy. And I know how special he is to you guys. And the most important thing you can give him is the love of Christ and demonstrate the love of Christ. And we pray that God will touch his heart at an early age and draw him into that loving relationship with him. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we love you. We thank you for Chris and for Jessica and for little Blake. Father, we pray and ask you to be with Jessica and Chris as they raise Blake in the nurture and admonition of you. Lord, we pray that you'll give them wisdom. We pray, Lord, as they walk life's journey, knowing that there will be peaks of mountaintops and valleys and sometimes low points and not knowing exactly what to do. But Father, I pray that they will always turn to you and they will always be faithful, serving you, modeling what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Father, that at an early age, may you touch his heart and may he come to faith in Christ. And Father, we'll thank you, we'll praise you for all that you do in and through this precious family and this little life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. Let me just mention a couple of things. Let's stand to our feet, and we'll try to keep feedback at a minimum. First of all, let me just say, this past week, you know, we do a firework stand fundraiser, and on Thursday, we got for our student ministry and youth camp, and we got a call on Thursday, Brother Dave did, saying from the inspector and saying, hey, he said, I work for the government, and I'm married, so I am known to be wrong. And he said, so I'm going to give you a number that you need to call, but I believe the city of Fort Worth has annexed where your firework stands are. And so the firework stands, sure enough, they are in the city limits, and you can't sell fireworks in the city limits. So therefore, the firework stands at this point has been shut down. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Now, I will tell you that we as staff and contemplating and thinking about, you know, leading up to this. It's usually, last year we raised around close to $16,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. This year they were projecting close to $20,000. And so when we think, we got youth camp right around the corner. And just thinking through all of the process, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach us? What are you trying to show us through this process, you know? And Friday, the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart and said, you know, Don, I don't need a firework stand to fund the ministry of First Baptist Church. And yesterday, a young man, a member of our church, I'm not going to call his name because I don't know that he would want me to, the Lord laid on his heart some time back to put back some money on days he was working over. And he and his business partner brought me a check for $6,000. And I say all this to say this, God is faithful. And God is faithful even more so and is manifested when God's people trust him and follow him and act on his leading. And I thank God for this young man who loves the Lord with his heart and did what God laid on his heart to do. And it will bless the student ministry of First Baptist Church Fort Worth. I say all this to say this. We're going to close with a song this morning. Because the one thing I can tell you, our God is awesome. He is. When you hear, I mean, our God is awesome. Okay, half of us believe that. The rest of you, you need to get on board because he's awesome. He can take an old broken down GM worker. I didn't say that. He said that. All right. And carry him all the way 7,000 miles away from home to a country, Brazil, that he is attempting to learn the language with a little Southern Texas draw on it. And take a mom and a son and Mary Jo and Fulton Cook and take them to Brazil, and nearly 600 people come to faith in Christ. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Brenda got a text from one of our ladies yesterday, Debbie Dow. She's sitting over here. I'm not saying this to embarrass her or anything, but she has been eating at this particular restaurant. She's had the same waiter four times, been witnessing to him. And yesterday, he prayed to receive Christ. The restaurant. Our God is awesome. Fireworks stand, smileworks stand. I mean, God provides. He chooses to do it through his people. Let's follow Christ. Let's live for him. Let me remind you just a couple things right before we sing. Altar worker meeting, leadership meeting. We have lunch for you. All right? So you won't starve to death. I think it's red beans and rice or something. That's what I have in Brazil. It's not that, but so please be sure to be at that meeting. And sing this with our praise team. Our God is awesome. Amen.
Amen. Let's go. You guys know this song. Please don't just let us sing it to you. Let's sing together and end the service, just proclaiming how awesome our God is, okay? Here we go.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Forever he will reign.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Forever he will reign. My God is awesome. Awesome.
My God is
awesome.
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 Yes, he is
awesome.
He is awesome.
Awesome.
He is awesome.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome. The Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes I am healed.
He is awesome.
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 Father, we thank you for your love, for your grace. We thank you, awesome God, that you loved us enough. Send Jesus, Lord Jesus, that you came, that you died on the cross so that we could be saved, that we could be made right with God, that we could have our sins forgiven. And Father, we pray that there's one here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that before they leave this place, they will place their faith and trust in you. Father, we pray you keep us safe now as we travel from this place. Lord, may we go out and share your love and your grace and shine as light in a dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.